I've titled today's message, Leaving a Legacy. Leaving a Legacy. What will be your legacy? What will people remember about you? I want you to think about that right now. If we were suddenly having a celebration of life service for you, what would be your legacy? What would people say about you? What would you be remembered for? We all leave some sort of legacy, either for good or for bad. Today we're going to conclude our study through the series of the life of David. We're concluding it not because we've learned everything we can about David, because we could go many, many more weeks, but because I think we've learned enough about David. We've been in this series now for 22 Sundays. That's 6 months. I think that's enough time to have learned enough about David that we can move forward. We've covered the most important events of his life, his rise from obscurity as a shepherd boy to prominence as a general and then a king. We've seen his amazing victories over giants and armies, and equally, we've seen his amazing failures. I mean, the guy either had great victories or great failures. He was either extreme highs or really extreme lows with David. He was a man of passion. But every good thing must come to an end. I just feel like it's time to conclude this series. Just to bring you up to date, the last few weeks were about Absalom's insurrection. Absalom was one of the sons. And the last time we looked, Absalom was hanging from a tree. You remember that? And he was killed by the David's army. And David then returned to his place, his rightful place as king, back to his throne, so he's exalted again. What we didn't cover, we skipped over a lot because there's a lot about David. But two other men tried the same stunt. A man named Sheba tried to become king by force, just like Absalom. You'd think he would have learned by watching Absalom's mistake. You want to read about that, that's in 1 Samuel 20. And another son of David named Adonijah, by the way, this is Absalom's younger brother, he tried to become king at the end of David's life. We read about that in 1 Kings 1. So you can continue reading about David and you'll learn lots. But let me say that both these young men were unsuccessful. David continued to be king because God had anointed him and chosen him to be the king of Israel. There are many other stories about David that we didn't cover, but you can explore them on your own. The life of David is in Samuel and Chronicles and for Kings. I mean, it's a large portion of our Bible is about David. But I just sense it's time to move on. I think 6 months is enough time to cover one person. And so we're going to move forward. Where are we going next, you might wonder? Well, for the next 3 or 4 weeks, we're going to actually survey David's old son that did become king, Solomon. We're going to learn about Solomon for just a couple, 2 or 3 weeks, not 22 weeks, not like David. But I think it's appropriate and natural to continue on this succession to see how did Solomon do. Everybody wanted that position. God chose Solomon. So we'll learn about him for a few weeks. Then we'll be into the Christmas season. And we actually meet on Sunday, Christmas Day. Did you know that? So start thinking about how you're going to arrange your Sunday morning on Christmas Day, because we're going to have church that day. And it'll be a Christmas-themed service. Following Sunday will be New Year's. We will have church on New Year's Day. What a good way to start the year. Amen? And it's probably a new series of some sort in the new year. As we wrap up the study on David, we must ask, what is David's legacy? I ask you, what is your legacy? What's David's legacy? What is he remembered for? Actually, God gave a good legacy of David. Listen to what God says in Acts chapter 13, verse 22. God speaking says, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. That is a fantastic legacy. Don't you wish God could say that about you? You are a man or a woman who's after God's own heart, who truly wants to follow God and will do all God's will. You're obedient. That's what it says about David. David's not remembered for his failures. God didn't say, I remember David, what a failure he was. Not remembered for his failures, not even remembered for his victories. He's remembered for his love for God, his wholehearted devotion to God. He was obedient to God. And that's what God remembers. He says, this is a man after my heart that'll do all my will. Are you that kind of Christian? Are you a wholehearted follower of God? Are you fully committed to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Is he your master? You're his follower? As we wrap up David's life, it seems appropriate to examine his final day. So we're skipped over a lot. We're going to go right to the end. And my outline is pretty simple. We're going to look at 3 points. Number one, David's final words. Number two, David's final work. And number three, David's final worship. You would expect David to end in worship, wouldn't you? He's that kind of man. So let's begin with the first one, David's final words. Often the final words of a dying person are pretty significant, aren't they? We want to hear what they have to say. They reveal what's truly important to that person, what is the priority of their heart. I want you to listen in as David gives some instructions to Solomon. Now, there's a whole chapter or two on this, but I've just selected just a couple verses here. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9, we read, "As for you, my son Solomon," so this is David speaking, "know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searches all the hearts and the understanding and understands every intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will let you find him. But if you forsake him, he will reject you." Now, David, as he's dying, he isn't giving his son a pep talk. He isn't talking about politics. He isn't talking about being a good king. He's talking about his spiritual life. So his spiritual advice, David says, "My son, listen to me." By the way, David was first of all a man of God. Secondly, he was a man of leadership, a man of, as a king. His position didn't matter to him. He was a man of God whether he was on the throne or off the throne. David was more concerned about his son's spiritual future than his political future. I hope that's true of you, that you're not worrying about your job, your position, your work. That's not what's important. What's most important is you have a right heart to follow hard after God. The advice David gave to Solomon is very relevant for us today. Did you notice the three phrases I highlighted? Know the Lord, serve the Lord, and seek the Lord. Say that with me. Ready? Know the Lord, serve the Lord, and seek the Lord. Know, serve, and seek. That's pretty good advice for us, isn't it? Let's think through each of those just for a moment. Know the Lord. This is where a relationship with God begins, as you get to know him. You know, God can be known. Some people think, well, God is so great and so big, he doesn't notice me and I can't know him. That's not true. He's not out of reach. He's not out of touch. God has revealed himself through his word. God reveals himself through his people. God reveals himself through nature, and he wants to be known. He is approachable. God is approachable. You can know God. You, in your state, in your weaknesses, can know God. He says, Solomon, the first thing, the highest priority for you is to know God. The way we get to know God is through his son, the Lord Jesus. Jesus said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You get to know Jesus, you get to know God. God desires to have a relationship with each one of us. So the first thing David says, the first thing I say to you is get to know God. Give him a try. Don't think he's too far off or that you're too far down. God wants to be reached. David had a real and personal relationship with God. And David was no saint. He had a lot of failures, as you've seen the last few weeks. And he wanted the same for his son Solomon. So David encourages Solomon, number one, highest priority for you is get to know God. That's my encouragement to you too. Highest priority in your life is to get to know God. Simply ask him to reveal himself to you. Submit your life to him. Commit your life to him. It's a wonderful verse that says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. You can have a relationship father, son, father, daughter, child relationship with God. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. You can trust in Jesus. You can get to know him. That's where the adventure begins. But knowing God is more than just becoming a Christian. That is just the introduction to Christ. Knowing God is a lifelong pursuit. That's why David was remembered as one who continually came back to God when he wandered away. Like any relationship, it takes effort, not just an introduction, and to follow through. So let's look at the second encouragement. We've seen know the Lord. The second one is serve the Lord. David says, son, serve the Lord. Don't serve your own self. Don't serve. It's not about serving others. It's serving God, number one. You know, this naturally flows out of knowing God. The Christian who truly knows God will want to serve him. God puts that desire in your heart to want to follow him and serve him. David was not content to simply know God or know about God. He was active in serving God. It was he that stepped forward and fought a giant. He said, I'm going to serve God in this battle. It was he who went out and found the Ark of the Covenant and brought it back and restored worship. He was active. He was serving. He wanted to make a difference in this world. It was he who led his people to great victories and became a great nation. He was an active, serving king. This idea of serving the Lord is very beautifully expressed in Daniel 11:23. Look at this verse. They that, what's the first one? Know. They that know their God, that's what David said, right? Know God, first of all, shall be strong and do exploits, serve. Knowing first, then doing. You say, I want to do something for God. Get to know God first. Knowing God, you become strong and able to serve. So knowing God leads to doing exploits. The reason David was so great on the battlefield was because he was great out in the pasture with the sheep, praying to God, worshiping God, writing his psalms. He knew God, and he was able to stand strong and do great things. God intends for us to be active. That's the point. Serving, not passive. God has saved us that we might serve him. You are saved to serve. Are you serving God? Are you involved in advancing his kingdom in some way or another? If you're not a preacher, not a teacher, you can be a servant, you can be a helper, you can be a supporter. Do all what you can. Be active in serving the Lord. So we have know the Lord, serve the Lord. What's the third one? Seek the Lord. That seems almost backwards. It almost seems like seek the Lord first, doesn't it? But this is the secret of David's life, is he says, if you will seek God, continue to seek him, even though you know him and you serve him, continue to seek him, he will reveal himself more and more to you. Isn't that great? You know, the reason most Christians never grow in their relationship with God is because we're lazy. We're apathetic. We don't really seek after God. We go, well, I'm a Christian now. I go to church now. But do we continue to seek God in the quiet place? This promise is conditional. God will meet us halfway. He'll reveal himself if we will seek. But if we don't seek, we're not going to find. Seek and you shall find. Seek the Lord. Now, where do you seek God? Well, of course, you seek him in his word. He's revealed himself in his word. This is God's word. David meditated on God's word day and night, Psalm 1 says. So the man of God meditates on God's laws, on God's words, day and night. If you want to seek God, you need to be in God's word, meditating, listening to God speak. God will not reveal himself to passive people, to indifferent people, to lazy people. We can float along and make no legacy, or we can seek after God and make a difference in the world. This is what sets David apart from others. This is why he's called a man after God's own heart. He was not content just to know God. He was not content just to serve God. He continued to seek God and pursue God every day of his life. David was a man who chased after God. Blessed are those who hunger for righteousness, they shall be fed. Blessed are those who thirst after righteousness. He hungered and thirsted for God. He's the one that said, as the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul longs for you, O God. He says, I'm thirsty for you, Psalm 42:1. He truly was a man after God's own heart, chasing after God. That's what makes him great. That's why he has such a great legacy. Will you take to heart David's final words? This is David's last words to his son. He says, get to know God. Begin serving God faithfully and seek the Lord with all of your heart. And you'll make a difference in the world. Let's transition to our second point. We've seen David's final words. How about David's final work? What did he do towards the end of his life? You may remember that David had a desire to build a temple for the Lord, and God told him through Nathan that he was not the one. He was a man of bloodshed. It would be his son that would come after him, who was a man of peace. So God revealed him very clearly that you're not going to build the ark or the temple, but Solomon would instead. So how did David spend his final years? He wanted to spend those final years building the temple, but it didn't happen. God said no. Does God sometimes say no to your great desires? Is that a good thing that he wanted? It's a good thing, but wasn't it the right thing for him? You know what he did? He did two things. Number one, he encouraged Solomon in the task. He says, you're the one chosen for this task. Be strong, be courageous. And then he made all the provisions, all the preparations for the temple so it would be an easier task for his son. So he invested in people, his son, and things, all the products, all the provisions, all the supplies. He invested in things that would outlast him. He said, I only have a little while left. I'm going to focus on my son Solomon and focus on this future temple that I will never, ever see. That's good advice for us. If you want to leave a legacy, invest in that which will outlast you. I have no dream that I'm going to outlast this church. I'm able to spend the last 20 years here, and maybe God will give me a few more years. But I'm investing in the future. There's going to be a lot, all of you will probably be here when I'm long since gone. So we invest in, if we want to leave a legacy, in things that will outlast us, especially in people. You'll leave a lasting legacy if you invest in people, in relationships. For David, it meant investing in Solomon and the future temple. Listen again as David speaks to Solomon. He says, consider now, verse 10, 1 Chronicles 28:10, consider now, for the Lord has chosen you, Solomon, to build this house for the sanctuary. Be courageous and act. He says, don't be passive. Get ready to go because you've got a job ahead of you. He cast a vision for his son. He says, it won't be me, it'll be you. God has chosen you to do this job. David accepted the fact that God wasn't going to let him build this. He submitted to that. So he began encouraging Solomon. He says, hey, be strong, be courageous, and act. What did David do in the meantime? He said, well, I can help you, Solomon. He gathered the supplies for the future project. He began investing in the future by bringing all the products together, all the supplies necessary for the temple. Look at chapter 29, verse 2. And you can read this whole 2-3 chapters here. It's fantastic. But I'm just giving you the highlights. Now, with all my ability, David says, all my ability. I mean, I put everything into this. I provided for the house of God gold and silver and bronze and iron and wood and onyx stones, and inlaid stones, stones of various colors, and all kinds of precious stones, and alabaster in abundance. The list goes on and on of all the things he stockpiled for his son to build this temple. He said, I won't be able to see it built, but I'm going to do all I can to make it happen for you. God even gave him the blueprints, the plans. God gave David the blueprints, the plan, and he was able to give that to his son. He said, here's the plan. Here's the provisions. Here's everything you need. That's his legacy. He said, I'm doing this for you. Everything was ready to go. And then David generously inspired others to give. I mean, he was giving. Well, he's a king. Well, what about the rest of the people? Let's read verse 9. Then the people rejoiced because they had offered so willingly. For they made their offering to the Lord with a whole heart. And King David also rejoiced greatly. He inspired all the common people to give too. I like this verse. The people rejoiced to give. It's like saying, please send another offering around. Please. We love these offerings. They just kept giving and giving. It says they gave to the Lord. I thought they were giving to the temple. Now, when you give to the church, you're not giving to Twin Peaks Community Church. You're giving to God. And God has given men and women in this church the ability to use it to forward his kingdom. So even though they're giving for the temple, it says they were giving to the Lord with a whole heart. You know, I'm thankful we have good givers in this church. We put in the bulletin a financial update. And we set a new budget that was kind of high, $33,000 every month had to come in. We had 43 come in this last month. It was a five-Sunday month, which helps. But thank you for your generosity. Thank you for saying, God, I want to give with a whole heart and rejoicing about it. So what was David's final work? Number one, inspiring his son. Inspiring his son. You've got sons. You've got daughters. You've got grandchildren. You're not going to be here that much longer. Spend your ending years investing in your kids, in your family, in people. Number two, inspiring the people around him, his peers, the nation. They gave generously. He says, you can do it. You can give to the Lord. And number three, providing materials for the building of the temple. That's how he left a legacy. That's his final work. We've seen David's final words, David's final work. Let's wrap up now with one more facet of David's legacy. David's final worship. Worship. David ended his life worshiping God. It's kind of how we saw him at the beginning. Out with the sheep. Nobody noticed him, but God did. God anointed him the next king. He was a worshiper from the beginning, and he's a worshiper at the end. Now I'm going to read kind of a longer passage, but this passage goes on and on and on. It's David's words as he's praising God. Just listen. Just join in just a little bit with what David is saying. He's not focused on himself. It's the end of his life. He's not saying, look what I've done. He said, look what God has done. He's worshiping God. 1 Chronicles 29:10-13. So David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly. And David said, blessed are you, O Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. It's like he just keeps coming up with new words. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all, and in your hand is power and might, and it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, reading this whole chapter will lift your spirits. We're not going to read this whole chapter. That's all we're going to read. David's worship continues on, and you will be lifted and encouraged if you find time to read it. In his last hours, David's eyes were on God. Verse 28, then he died. Then, yeah, same chapter. Then he died in a ripe old age, full of days, riches, and honor, and his son Solomon reigned in his place. So next week we'll look at Solomon for, next few weeks we'll be looking at Solomon. What happened when Solomon took the reins? David died, it says here, in a ripe old age. You know how old he was? 70. 70? What? That doesn't seem so old, does it? Give me an amen. Amen. But let's be reminded what Psalm 90, verse 10 says. Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. So between 70 and 80 is kind of the lifespan. Death is a sad reality we must all face, and it's coming closer to some of us, isn't it? Sooner than we want. Some of us are living on borrowed time. When death comes, I hope I'll be like David. I hope I'll be still worshiping God, not cursing God, not complaining, not whining. I hope I'll still be worshiping God. I hope you will too. I hope that'll be your legacy. This concludes our study of the life of David. He will forever be remembered as a man after God's own heart. That's his legacy. He's a man who is after God, pursuing God, seeking God, serving God, knowing God. That was what his life was all about. How will you be remembered? Let me end with the way we started. What will be your legacy? You know, fortunately, you're not dead yet. You can change your legacy. You can spend the next months, years, investing in people, investing in things that will outlast you. You can stop thinking about yourself and start thinking about others. Your legacy is still to be determined. If you want a lasting legacy, do as David did. Make God your highest priority. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So like David, get to know God personally, begin serving God faithfully, continue seeking God all the days of your life, and invest your life in things that will outlast you, and you will leave a lasting legacy. Let's pray. Father, it's sobering to think that we are someday going to pass away, pass from this earth, and we'll leave behind everyone and everything. Lord, help us right now to be making a difference while we still can, using our abilities, using our finances, all that we can to invest in other people and your kingdom, which will last forever. Let us leave a lasting legacy, we pray, in Jesus' name.